Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GE Power India Limited's earnings conference call for the third quarter of FY 2022-23. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Jain, Managing Director, GE Power India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening and warm welcome to all of you for joining this discussion on the financial and operational performance for the third quarter of the financial year. Before we dive into the quarterly performance, I would like to welcome my team who is joining me to answer your questions and update performance across various verticals. I have with me Yogesh Gupta, our Whole-time Director and CFO, Mr. Vineet Pant, our Chief Commercial Officer, and Mr. Rajraman, Executive Projects, on the call with me. I would like to start with the global economy, with some context on the global situation. The year 2022 turned out to be tough for the global markets, with volatility in commodity prices that dictated the central bank activities in most of the countries, thereby impacting the growth trajectory worldwide in the world trade. Surge in inflation due to hike in commodity prices, including crude oil and gas, led to global slowdown as major economies witnessed cut down in retail consumption growth. However, the first two quarters of the year also saw a major energy crisis, primarily in Europe, but with impacts beyond due to cut in supply of gas from Russia to the European Union. Due to global economic slowdown and projected recessionary fears, the World Bank has revised the world GDP growth at 1.7% for 2023 compared to 3% earlier in its latest Global Economic Outlook report. With global energy crisis, we also witnessed a revival in growth of coal-powered electricity generation as surging gas prices and insufficient renewable energy forced countries to rely on traditional thermal power to meet the growing demand of electricity. This was the global context, what happened in the Indian economy and Indian power sector. In the Indian context, the World Bank has revised GDP growth for 2022-23 to 6.9% as against 6.5% projected in October 2022. According to the World Bank, the Indian economy is better poised to combat external environment pressure, and economic fundamentals are in good place compared to other emerging market economies. As far as the energy sector is concerned, the country's reliance on coal as a traditional fuel has gone up since the pandemic. Though coal contributes close to 50% of India's installed capacity, its contribution to generation is close to 80%. This is a clear indicator that significance of coal for power generation is indisputable, at least for the next few years to come. The situation in India is similar to Europe, where high natural gas prices led to a stronger reliance on coal for electricity generation. The coal price globally has been impacted due to the Russia and Ukraine conflict. Russia, being the third largest coal exporter, has disrupted the global coal trade, and this has impacted the import price for Indian players as well. India's coal imports during the 2022 grew 14.7% at 161.18 million tons. The domestic production too has grown by 17% to 524 million metric tons during the April-November 2022, compared to 448 MT in the corresponding period of last year. This also was a blessing for India, as India largely relies on domestic coal. India has been, to an extent, protected on the electricity tariffs against the world tariffs, because 80% of the generation is still coming from coal, and that has prevented, as far as domestic coal is concerned, certain amount of inflation in the domestic markets. Coming to the fluid gas desulfurization business in India, the segment ordered 20 gigawatt compared to 7 gigawatt during the same period the previous year, which means that the market is higher this year as compared to last year. But the expectation that we had was about 30 gigawatts, against which we saw 20 gigawatts. So in summary, the market is bigger than last year, again 7 gigawatts, 20 gigawatts. But our expectation was a 30 gigawatt market in the period so far in 9 months. The segment is seeing this slowdown as the deadline for it. I would not say slowdown, but I would say that certain orders have been delayed as the deadline for coal-based power plants to implement emission standards has been extended by 2 years. What does this mean on GE Power India operations? The turnaround for GE Power India operations is taking longer than we had expected, and one of the reasons is the slowness in the market. For example, the regulatory 2-year delay of the mandate to implement SG technology, but also the upgrades. Power producers are currently running their assets at full load to benefit from high demand, and they are getting a very good price level for power, and thus they are delaying shutdown to implement upgrades, and therefore there is a delay in capex. This, we believe, is of temporary nature, and we are expecting upgrades to pick up in the midterm. Overall, we are seeing an uptick in the market, with the market size of FGDs being larger than at the same time last year, which is why which is of course lower than the level that we were anticipating, and which is why the orders have gone down from 2.6 billion in Q3 of 21-22 to 1.5 billion in the Q3 of the current fiscal year. You can see on the page 4 in the slide, most of the decrease comes from order intake from the FGD segment. Since FGD and upgrades are continuing to come in slower than expected, we are using our existing backlog, and therefore the mitigation actions that we are taking are on two fronts. One, adjusting the load at the Durgapur factory, and we have done another round of restructuring towards that in the current quarter. And the second is on the... Give me a second, please. And second, which is on focusing on very tight control on the SG&A. At the same time, we are mindful of the fact that we need to keep the right level of competence for us to deliver on our future strategy. On the strategy in general, on growing core services, we are seeing good progress. We have been growing, and we are expecting to close the fiscal year in the double-digit range. On the core service execution side, we are doing very well with high levels of productivity. So this is a good part of the strategy that continues to be attractive. On the new build side, we are continuing to execute the equipment projects from our backlog. And the risks we have seen are from commodity price inflation and supply chain disruptions as a result of the geopolitical instability. And our actions to mitigate these risks include measures to protect the margin during execution, and ensuring a mitigation provision in new orders, as well as looking at alternative sources for key commodities and components. While these actions are aiming at keeping our business sustainable on the long term, these risks include factors that are outside our control being faced by the entire industry sector. We, as well as the sector, have made joint representations to the ministry and customers for exceptional one-time relief. Timing of such relief is of course subject to the discretion of ministry and the customers, which we are constantly engaging with. If I have to summarize the executive summary on the Q3, first I would like to highlight that for GE Power, the year 2022 is a milestone year as we marked 120 years of presence in the country. And this year is embarking on a significant energy transition journey. The turnaround for GE Power India Limited operations is taking longer than expected due to order intake of FGDs and upgrades being lower than anticipated. We are taking actions by restructuring and adjusting the load at our Durgapur factory and by reducing our operational cost and SG&A. Core services, we see good progress and we are growing, and we expect to close the fiscal year in double-digit range. So that's the summary in a nutshell. And for discussing financial operations, I will now call upon our CFO, Yogesh, to open, and then we will, of course, open for question and answers. So over to you, Yogesh.
Thank you, Prashant. Good evening, everyone, and I'm pleased to welcome you today to discuss our financial and operational performance for the third quarter ending on 31st December 2022. Lower than expected industry demand and subsequent lower order intake in the last few years has impacted our revenue and margin for the quarter. Revenue for Q3 23 stood at 532.7 crores, down from 757 crores in the corresponding period of last year. Whereas the revenue in Q2 23 is higher than the revenue of 427.8 crores in Q2 23. PBT has been impacted because of lower volume, project cost updates, mainly for two projects, Solapur and Jhajjar, and exceptional items for rationalization of Durgapur manufacturing facility amounting to 10.7 crores. Loss before tax for Q3 23 is lower at rupees 30.1 crores against a loss of 46.2 crores in Q3 of the current fiscal year and 112.5 crores in Q2 of 23. Structural costs in the first 9 months of the current year have gone down, but there has been under recovery due to lower volumes, thereby lower capacity utilization. Loss after tax for Q3 23 was 139.9 crores against loss of 34.5 crores in Q3 FY22. The increase in loss after tax is due to the treatment of deferred tax assets. The carry forward amount of the deferred tax assets has been reviewed by the company management, and considering the recent financial performance of the company, lower order intake than expected, and delay in order backlog execution, the management has taken a conservative view as per the accounting standards to charge off the deferred tax asset of 109.7 crores during the quarter ended 31st December 22. During the quarter, the company got orders worth 152.1 crores against rupees 264.7 crores in Q3 FY22. As of December 31st, 22, we have an order backlog of 4,020 crores. This is on the financial front, a brief summary. Now we are open for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Please press star 1 to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Danish Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Can you proceed?
So, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I had a couple of questions. One is that if I were to see this time, your other expenses have gone up. Why on year on year? So is that in some ways related to the 9 crore extra impact that we have taken on account of Solapur? That's question number one.
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
The other expenses, if you were to see our control numbers, so our other expenses in December 21 was 51 crores, and in December 22 was 69.9, roughly 70 crores. So they're up about 40%. So this is on account of any one-time expenses that we have done, or is the 74 a number that now we have to work with in other expenses? And what are these other expenses, actually?
Well, I would take this question. On this, that 9.7 crores at one time is not in the other expenses.
Okay. Yeah?
And what is the reason for the increase from 509 million INR to 588 million INR is the increase. If we look at our performance in Q3 2021-22, we had a bad debt provision write back of 94 million, whereas this year we had to create additional provision of 83 million. So this netted an impact of about 177 million. And the second major reason has been the net loss on foreign currency front. This quarter in the current year, we have had an impact of 87 million, whereas last year there was no impact. The rest other like small like tickets in the range of about plus minus 10 to 15 million.
Got it. Understood. So this 9-4 number of Solapur comes where?
This has been there in our cost of material, or you can say in the cost. Basically, this has been impacting the project, and this is on account of the insurance that will be finally covered. Because of the estimates in the survey, we realized that this additional cost impact will come.
Understood. And I remember a couple of quarters ago, we had also taken some cost write-off on account of that hydro project in Odisha. So has that project started off for us now?
Hydro project in Orissa.
There was some.
If you are referring to Subansiri project,
yes,
there is a good progress on the project. The project is moving well at this point in time, and so we are seeing a good progress, I would say. So we don't see any further surprises there. It's progressing well.
Got it. And on the receivables front, if you could also give some sense of the balance sheet today, what is our debt position today, and what are the receivables that are still pending, and any milestones that we see coming up in the next, let's say, 1 year, where some of these receivables would be realized?
On the front of our borrowing, we are at 273 crores borrowing as of 31st December 22.
This is gross.
Yeah, this is the gross borrowing that we have, both from external and our internal affiliate arrangement.
Got it.
And this number was 193 crores as of March 22. So we have reduced borrowing by about 20 odd crores.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the September 22 numbers, we have reduced the borrowing by about 800 million INR.
Very good. Correct.
So this is on the front of our borrowing. And when we look at our receivables position, we have receivables of 20.74 billion INR as of 31st December 22.
Mm-hmm.
And this number as of March 22 was 23.946 billion. So we have improved upon our receivable position as well.
Understood. And any spend, on how much we could expect in the next 1 year? Is it 30%, 40%? Just an idea.
What I can say in terms of the next four quarters, we expect that the majority of the work that we will do on the FGD projects is on site work.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect to collect majority of the retention payments on the FGD projects in the next 3 to 4 quarters. So that is what we see, because most of the supplies are done now. It's pretty much the site work.
Understood.
On the projects that have in the previous backlog, of course, we have the new projects. We will start to see them in the next 6 to 7 months, but not in this current year.
Understood. Actually, one thing that I must congratulate the management on is that you kind of manage your costs pretty well, and that's how you've brought it down. This one last question from mine. What would be the contribution of services in our revenue? In the presentation, you've given the order book breakdown, saying how much is services and how much is new bills. But how much is it in the revenues today out of the 500 odd crores of revenues that we have done?
This number, in the percentage terms, I can share with you.
Yes, please.
This quarter, we have done a total revenue of about 5.3 billion. The services have been in the proportion of almost about 33-32%.
Understood. And last year, this was how much? This roughly?
Last year, this was, I would say, a shade lower. So I would not have exact number right now, but
no one.
The indicative number will be about 25%.
20-odd percent.
Yeah.
So there is a significant revenue that you've done in this current quarter, which is, in my view, one of the best that you've done in service revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been an exceptional quarter on the performances of services. So that portion of businesses, the core services, is doing quite well.
Got it. And in Durgapur now, have we finished whatever restructuring we had to do? Or do we still expect any more restructuring in Durgapur?
So I would say that the majority of the actions have been done. Now, in the last year, what we've seen against our expected load on the factory, since we had lower levels of inventory and high material inflation, we lost out some bits to the competition who had larger inventory in the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So this year now we have to catch up as the material prices stabilize. We are working on a strategy to load the factory, but at this point in time, I would say that the book and bill is going to be very crucial to monitor the performance very closely. So we are monitoring that very closely. That is a large part of the under liquidation today in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to retain the competence and the capacity so that as we get back the load, that is what you would see as the under liquidation that is impacting, whereas the SG&A is lower for that we have done. However, the under liquidation currently is what we are seeing hurting us. But we have reached at a point where, you know, further action without compromising on competency is a challenge. So I think the trick is on how fast are we able to bring orders to fill the shop.
Got it. Understood. Thank you very much. I'll get back in line. Thank you very much.
So I just clarify, it is about in the last year, same quarter, the service, clean service revenue was about 18-19%. And this year, there's about 33-32% as I mentioned earlier. Yeah?
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surbhi Sarogi from Smith Capital Markets. Can you proceed?
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, in your opening remark, you said that the turnaround of GEPL operation is taking longer than expected. So, can you give some outlook as to by when do you expect the business to turn around, or by when at least you expect to go EBITDA positive?
I would say that the leading indicators will be for this will be order intake. We have done the optimization of the capacity, and I would say that you should monitor the progress of order intake. Currently, you are falling short on the orders. And as we see the orders progressing, considering the lead time typically of the orders is what I think we will have to monitor quarter on quarter, we would not make any forward-looking statements.
Okay. And sir, one more question regarding the incident at Solapur. Can you give some comment as to what are the implications going forward, whether all the provisions have been done?
Yes, all the provisions have been done, after the provisions, we now have to start we are now in the process of the surveys have been done. The final survey concluded in the current quarter, therefore you see the additional hit which we have announced in the today's results. That is the update that we have had from the previous. So now we have booked all the costs that are required to be booked on the project in the provisions. As we now make progress and recover the money from the insurance, we will in the year's time, as we will execute the project, we will start claiming with the insurance and with the, and make progress on the project. So the provisions have been done. It's about now making progress, investing money, and then recovering from the insurance is what we will have to do as we go forward.
Okay, sir. Got it.
Thank you.
As a reminder to participants, kindly press star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, good evening, sir. The first question is on the thermal pipeline. You understand thermal pipeline is improving materially. As you stand today, there are roughly around 7 to 8 gigawatt of order which you open. Does it, and if you of course expect the BHEL to win a larger share of orders, does it bode well for our order outlook?
So the number that I mentioned, 7 gigawatt was in the last year, the orders of FGD, versus that we have seen about 20 gigawatts of orders of FGD in the current year. And
sorry to interrupt, but my question was primarily on the thermal, thermal BTG orders. Yeah.
So on the BTG, we are still evaluating the participation. And yes, today we will announce stroke. We are working on the opportunities. But at this point, it's too early for me to comment. Those are still in early stages of discussion with the customers.
Understood, sir. Secondly, sir, on the FGD side, of course, there is some delay. But how do you expect it to pan in next 12 to 18 months, given that the first timeline, if I remember correctly, is 31st December 24, and second is 25, third is 26. So I think this is the time, say FY24 should see healthy order for FGD side. Is my understanding correct?
So what we will do is we'll make a comment on the market. What we have seen is even though the customers do decide the order, by the time they make the purchase order and then make the payments, we are seeing a cycle of 9 months to a year. So the ordering, even if it happens, the customer makes the decision, places the purchase order, then they close the financial commitment and making the down payment, we are seeing a slightly longer cycle. And the orders that we have booked so far, two of them, we have booked them almost after closing the deal in a period of about 9 to 12 months. And that is what we are a bit concerned of, because the timelines have been extended. We see customers are still eager, negotiating, taking offers. But by the time we see the cash coming into the books, it's taking a bit longer. So that's the overall context when we say the ordering is delayed. Overall market is intact. It is just that we would have wished to have the entire order intake in the year so that we could start converting it into revenue. But it is going to take longer for us to book and convert those orders in the context of what we were trying to explain in the earlier half. On the total project pipeline, I would ask Vineet to step in. Vineet, maybe you want to just make a mention on the market of FGD as we still see it.
So still are looking at 100 gigawatt needs to be ordered. Roughly 110 gigawatt has been ordered, and another 110 gigawatt remains to be ordered, which I would say translates to a pipeline of 56,000 crores. So that is what needs to be done. And as you correctly mentioned, as far as plants are concerned, the end date where most of the plants are, is 26, and it was, which means considering install time period of logically, start ordering 23 or 24 start ordering, but as per there is a delay, customers are taking their under, NTPC, the central utilities have really gone ahead, and mostly it would be the IP and the state utility customers, which is taking time, as Prashant mentioned. We are in this getting done with a PO and advance, taking more time.
And on the new LGD tenders, payment terms should be far better than our legacy orders. Is that
right? Yeah, that is right. They are far better, and clearly we have a strategy also to look at their cash security with good margins and cash flow.
Last year, sir, you have signed an MOU with NTPC for reducing carbon intensity from NTPC's coal-fired units. Is there something likely to materialize over the next 12 to 18 months, or do you think it's just at this point of time, at exploratory stage?
Yeah, it's early stage at this point in time, because this is towards the 2030. We want to achieve certain outcomes in the long term. And we are working. So initially, we see some engineering, our commitment maybe for a year, year and a half, where we will do some joint engineering R&D work. And the deployment should happen only in 2 years. So it's a great investment towards creating decarbonization strategies for the coal-fired sector. So we think it's a great opportunity. And it is, of course, non-exclusive. So we have to also make sure that we deliver and we develop on that as we move forward. So your estimate is right. We will see it in maybe 2 years, more than the engineering that we will see as pilots. It will take some time to evolve, but it's in the right direction towards the energy transition.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Goldman Sachs. Can you proceed?
Hey, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So wanted to understand if we have quantified the potential opportunity from this extension of the retirement age for plants, which I think MOP had notified some time back. So do you expect large-scale R&M to be undertaken for any life extensions? And if yes, then to what size?
So if you look at the Indian market vis-a-vis the global markets, we anticipate that in Indian markets will remain flat. Which means that we will see maybe at the most, we will not see a market going down, it will be flat. Even if, and the challenge that we are currently seeing with the customers, they did not anticipate the demand. And now because they have the demand, they are not willing to shut down even for normal maintenance.
Right.
So certain ordering has been actually postponed. So yes, it should convert into upgrades. We do expect that in the midterm the upgrades will come up. So Vineet, you want to add around
the market? So I think he was presenting to the discussion which has taken place in the power ministry, where power minister has advised not to retire thermal units and go for revamping. So we have that list to answer to your question. You know, we have a list of about 224, about 65 gigawatt, where, you know, potentially there could be, and this would be mostly 210. So we are keeping a track of it, and we have already done turbine upgrades in two plants, GSEC Vanagbari and NTPC Ramagundam, where, and reference plants, you know. So we are back to answer, and we will be ready to, meet the requirement.
So what would be the capex, say, in rupees crore, rupees million per megawatt that we should typically associate with, say, a turbine upgrade?
So something which we are still working on, you know, it would depend, it would not depend on the, on the fleet, depending on the, type of machine. It will vary,
Okay, and sir, and the list that you have for the 65 gigawatt, which is to be sort of upgraded, is it more towards the state-owned power plants, or is it also for the central and private power plants?
No, it would be mostly state and center. It would not be IPP, because most of the IPP units have come out, in the recent, and they are plants. So I would say it's mostly state and central.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manveera, an individual investor. Can we proceed?
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Can you provide the segregation of orders inflow from FGD, steam service, hydro and gas?
We have already given that indication in the chart for you to see.
Okay, and do you think the decision of government to extend the emission deadline for coal-fired plant has impacted the FGD order flow?
So, yes, I have mentioned earlier that we were expecting in the period 30 gigawatts to be ordered roughly. And we have seen about 20 gigawatts being ordered. So, yes, we are seeing that certain customers have not been in a hurry to execute. And based on the zones, the timeline for even implementing the existing projects, the amount of urgency that was there earlier to get on the grid, we are seeing certain delays in the ordering cycle. So yes, in the current year against the 7 gigawatts last year, we see 20 gigawatts. So market has gone up, but we were expecting 30 gigawatts, but it is 20 instead of 30. So not to the extent that we expected because of these delays.
And lastly, can you give us the can you give me the update on the execution front? So last year you had mentioned that the execution in some of the projects is delayed, and which is impacting our profitability. But has the situation improved?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
So last quarter you have mentioned that the execution in some of the projects is delayed, and which is impacting the profitability. So has the situation improved?
Yeah, Raj, would you want to comment on overall execution? How much delays are you seeing in our digital project portfolio? And what you're seeing in the current year in terms of milestones to be achieved?
Yeah. Thanks, Prashant. So, good evening. We, as such, for our FGD execution, we continue to lead in terms of the milestone completion as far as our customers are concerned. Yes, we have seen impact on account of the inflation and the supply chain disruptions. Overall, there has been a delay, which we have seen, again, cascading from the COVID-related delays. However, we have a strong line of sight for many milestones to be achieved in this next 2 to 3 quarters, as Prashant mentioned in the beginning, and that would really help us to secure our cash on the retentions from the customer.
Okay, so thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Can we proceed?
Thanks for the opportunity. So, first question on the comment you made in your opening remarks about the relief that you're seeking from the ministry and the customers. Could you elaborate on that? What kind of relief are you looking for, and what is the potential timeline for any of that?
Yeah, so we if you look at the COVID wave 1 and COVID wave 2 in isolation, they are individual force majeure events. But when you add the COVID wave 1, COVID wave 2 supply disruptions that continued, and then the hyperinflation that has happened subsequently because of supply chain disruptions, during the conflict in Europe, the combined effect has had an impact on the project to the tune of 3 to 4 years, and the normal indexation that is applied into projects is not adequate to cover this inflation. So we have represented to the ministry and also to our customers to give a relief in terms of having an index that adequately covers this exceptional situation. This is not business as usual. And such a prolonged duration on a project site is not what was anticipated by anybody when they started the project. And this is on behalf of the industry and the sector, not for the company alone. And therefore, we have said that we need a special indexation and a relief for these projects so that the PVC can be applied with a special index and not the normal index for business as usual times. So that is what we have represented from the industry.
And what's the timeline of a potential resolution to this? Is it, a quarter or two or maybe a year?
I think I would not be able to hazard a guess because it's in the end the government's area. So, yes, we have made representation both to the government and customers. Maybe the customer may decide, maybe the government would decide, so we don't know. If some customers do decide, that might come sooner. If the government decides something, it might come sooner. The government may not decide. So it's uncertain, but yes, it's an exceptional situation being faced by the sector, and therefore I see that this is a problem across the sector that people are representing to seek relief.
Understood. And then on the FGD business, you talked a lot about that the customers are not even shutting down the plants for regular maintenance, but aren't they required by compliance, etc., to put these things, or we are saying just because the time period has been extended, they are going to wait till the very end to start doing these projects which are required anyway?
Correct, that's right.
can say.
So in that, there are two topics, right? One is the FGD, the second is services. In services, it's a short cycle business. And if you expect the customer would have done, say, an outage in, say, December, January, or March, typically an area that they might want to do an outage. But if there is a big demand, and you've seen the tariff has actually gone as high as 20 rupees or 16 rupees now on the exchange, so they would continue then not to stop the plant for the maintenance in that quarter, but push it out by a quarter. But if they do that for a quarter, then for that quarter, the service business is gone. So that impacts short-term movement of the quarter based on the demand. So in my view, that's temporary, and that pushes the customers to delay their decision simply by a couple of quarters, but it impacts the short-cycle business.
But that's a revenue loss for us, right? Or is it the revenue?
Correct. That's temporary, yes. Basically, eventually they'll have to catch up. And upgrades, we see the challenge that upgrades we have seen a big demand in the inquiry. But then we have seen that, okay, they are now deciding the timing of the upgrade and, you know, and when they want to commit to the CapEx. We have not seen a lot of decisions happen towards upgrades yet. But there is a big pipeline, and you heard earlier in the previous question that even the government has now said several plants not to be retired in 2030. That is meaning that the upgrade R&M market should open up, but we're just not seeing that converting into decision yet. And typically, I mean, our experience has been in the past, it takes a few years for an upgrade opportunity to mature. So we are optimistic that in midterm the upgrade market will come back.
Understood. And then last question, you know, what is the timeline for GE parent company to divest its assets? I know you have talked about it several quarters ago, but if you can just refresh the timeline again, please.
Yeah, so GE, the announcement was in February for a 36 months period, and that is where we are today, and I have no further update on that. So there are two aspects to it. One is about the strategic direction of GE wanting to exit, and the second was about making the company independent in terms of technology, knowledge, etc. So on the 36 months that I have said, it's in public domain since February. And the second area was the technology transfer, etc., which is on track. And in terms of the FGDs concerned, we are now fully independent. And the other technologies, we have a roadmap in place to ensure that JPL has all the technology that it needs to be able to run in the area of business that JPL would like to run.
Okay, so February 22 is the starting point, is it, or 21?
22, I see. Yeah.
22, okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Shah from Vikram Advisory. Kindly continue.
Sir, I wanted to check that, you know, I heard that on December 22, we have a trade receivable of roughly around 2,000 crores. I wanted to know that, you know, how much of out of that is retention money and the timelines that you expect to receive that retention money. The second question is regarding what is the operating cash flow that we've made for the full 9 months this year?
Yeah, on the retention, like, we have approximately about 80%.
How exactly say that?
As the retention of the total outstanding that we have. This, I'm talking of the net receivables position after, like, removing the provisions. Provisions for the full retention for the damages. And with regard to...
As of March 22, the retention money that we expect to receive was around 1892 crores, right?
Yes.
So out of 1892, how much of that is right now?
It is 16.4 billion, so 1,644 crores.
Okay. And when do we expect ourselves to receive that 1,600 crores?
Prashant has already...
The average timeline.
So this, we are like, most of the projects are in the, like I would say, the commissioning and site activity stage. And as and when the milestones get completed, these payments will be collected. And we are looking at a substantial amount of collection in the coming 2 years.
Perfect. Okay, that is helpful. And the operating cash flow for 9 months?
The operating cash flow for 9 months has been, we are positive 590 million cash flow. And if we consider the borrowings impact also, like the reduction in borrowings, then the impact is 388 million.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Ramesh Behra, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Hey, hi, good evening. So my question to management, it's been a year now, and we are not seeing any information or update around the promotion. Did GEPL management had a discussion with GE, the parent company, about what exactly is going on to protect retail investors' interest? Or it's like they, whenever they require, they will contact with you guys?
So, yes, as I said earlier, there are two parts to the announcement. One part is related to where we are working together with GE on making the company independent in terms of capabilities, knowledge, and competency and technology transfer in the areas of business that GEPL would want to continue. And that portion, we are in constant engagement with GE and we are on track. As regards to the other part of the announcement, which is strategic in nature, which is at arm's length, and on that portion of GE, of course, will so GE is leading that, and the announcement, I don't have any further update on that.
So my question is that, are we in getting in touch with them? What exactly, the future roadmap or what they're looking for? Or it's kind of the disclosure whenever they're going to make to the public?
Yes, as in when there, if there is anything material or update, for sure we will update and disclose to the market. I have no information at this point in time that I am able to disclose.
Okay. One more question. I could see, I'm invested from last 6-7 years in GEPL. Okay. So basically what happened, GEPL signed a deal on 20 December 2022 with NTPC related to the coal-fired business a long-term contract with NTPC, but those kind of information not shared in, not disclosed in BSNS website, and you guys coming with those information on result PDF or presentation. Why you are not sharing that information immediately with the retail investors?
Sorry, I'm not clear about that. Can you repeat the question? It's not clear to me.
So basically the disclosures, it's not happening as it was for NTPC deal or any orders we have received for last quarter. Those are actually updating in the PPT presentation, PPT, and presenting to investors. So I just want to wonder why this 23 December incident not reported to a stock exchange?
There is no material information, so I don't know which order you are referring to.
It's not order, the contract AMU signed with NTPC.
The MOU. The MOU is in the public domain, and it has been placed in the public domain.
So it's in public domain. It's in GE website, but not in the public domain. So basically, yeah. The retail investor will not go to the.
It is not material. It is not material to the performance of the company. It's a technology discussion with NTPC, and we don't see that it will have a material impact, as I explained earlier, in the next couple of years. So from that point of view, this disclosure.
The other way, NTPC disclosed that information immediately in the stock exchange. So if you go through the NTPC disclosure, you will get that information. They have a signed MOU with GEPL.
Okay.
So I am a bit worried, why we are not disclosing this information. The similar way, the orders that we receive for this quarter, September to December, those orders also not disclosed in a timely manner.
I don't agree with you there, sir. We are following all the. We have issued number one of press release for this MOU, sir. Number one, the press release was issued for this MOU. Number two, all the orders which are required to be disclosed are disclosed if they are material. And there is a materiality threshold, and we ensure that any topic that is required to be materially disclosed, and the total order intake value, as you can see, It is disclosed. So there is
I don't understand. What does mean that public domain? Are you referring BSENIC exchange as a public domain or it's the GEPL website?
So, Kamna, maybe you want to address this
information is available in GEPL website, but not in BSENIC exchange. The investor likes us. They are always looking for the information from exchange rather than the website. So why not we are planning on that way? I couldn't see any disclosure around these particular orders intake or the execution of the projects we did for last quarter successfully. Those information not at all disclosing in BSE or NSE exchange.
We take the feedback and we will review. In my view, as I said, there is no intention of not disclosing any topic that requires disclosure so far, but we take this feedback and we will come back on that.
Sure. The one more question, like around the turnaround sentence in the PPT, like what exactly went wrong? Like if you compare to the business or COVID scenario or other things, the similar kind of industry or similar kind of companies are coming with robust results. They are coming with robust implementation for education and coming with like a good amount of revenue for the quarter. And what exactly went wrong for GEPL? Why we are looking for a turnaround for GEPL?
So when we say the turnaround, it's a good question. There are three areas that we have identified for GE Power India Limited. One area we knew that there is a challenge, that there have not been very significant new build orders in the past 4 years. And therefore, the company had to pivot towards developing service business. Now, as we have started to work towards service business, we see a significant development in the service core orders. But we have not seen any upgrade orders material at all in the current financial year so far. So therefore, the growth that we were anticipating from service is not largely due to upgrades. Where we have not seen any upgrade orders, we don't see the growth of replacing new build with service as a lever for growth has not moved. It is moving in the right direction, but not to the extent that we anticipated, and it is largely due to upgrades. The second area is on the FGDs. On the FGDs again, we have had an LOI, for example, and that is taking longer time for converting into cash and order booking. For example, Anuppur that we disclosed in December last year, it took almost 9 months for materializing that order and receiving the down payment. And similarly now, in certain contracts where even if you are L1, it is taking a lot more time for the customer to materialize and convert that into order. So if you see 2 years of order intake, where you have had lower order intake, the profitability of the company will depend on the revenue that comes from backlog. So the speed with which we should have added the backlog, we have not been able to add. And today the backlog is flat. So that is what is limiting for us to turn around faster than we anticipated, and largely driven by the market, which is not as we expected. So it's largely coming from FGD and upgrades. Core, we see good progress and it is moving. The second lever that we had said was to move towards non-EP and EPC. That is on track. And the third lever we had said was we will add more and more private customers, so that we have flexibility of cash terms and lesser retentions. That portion is on track. However, is that compensating for the break-even volume that we are able to move into a profitable zone and the order cycle to convert into revenue? That is taking slightly longer.
The final question is like, what exactly the market share we are looking for in HGT order?
Yeah, that's a good question. Vinit, can you please clarify?
My question is not yet. And yep. Again, like from past 2 years, like I think the funds are always saying like it's a lower intake order. If that is the case, why we are not expanding our participation in the FGD in other areas rather than only limited to few customers?
Okay, so the first question, we are targeting market share of around 10-12% in terms of gigawatt. And we are looking.
If I remember, this was like 18 to 19 earlier.
It is right, but now as we are moving more towards great utility customer, So, and as you mentioned, we are looking at select customers and cash accretive deals. So, for that reason, we are targeting this. In some cases, we are bidding on EPC basis, on EPC basis. So it's going to be a mix, and some cases also trying to work with partners in order to expand our access to the market. We are working on it.
So what we have done, just to summarize what Vinita said, what we have done is we know the entire 110 gigawatt that will be ordered in the next 2 to 3 years. Of that, we have categorized that into state IPP. Central is largely done with NTPC ordering, it's all over. So it's largely now state and private IPP. On the state, we are not going after every state because we cannot take terms which are not cash accretive or margin accretive and increase the stress on working capital for the company. So therefore, we are being selective in the opportunities that we think will be cash accretive, margin accretive to the company. Therefore, we are doing a combination of EP and EPC, and this strategy is working very well so far. The new orders that we have taken, there we see a good execution on the 2 EP orders and 1 industrial order that we have so far. We are seeing that the execution has been very stable so far, and we have been able to control the outcome very well. So all the learnings that we have learned in the past, that part of the strategy is working quite well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Danish Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Can you proceed?
Hello. Yeah, thank you for taking my question again. I have just one question. You mentioned that essentially, power plants are running at full tilt, and given that they have a lot of demand and everything, so do you see actually the services business picking up from here, given that if you run a machine for long, it will need service? Just asking from a very layman's perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, so there are 2 parts to the business. One is the core services, one is the upgrade business. So what we have experienced so far, the core services over a period of a year, it balances out. At times the customers have an annual budget, and in the end, somewhere during the year, if it is pushed from one quarter to the other, it balances out. So I will lead on to Vinit to comment in terms of actual numbers. What we saw in the core services due to this in the market, or from our expectations so far versus actual landing number in the market in core services. On the upgrade, typically it's a large cycle capex where the customer also needs an approval from the regulator, and therefore the process takes over 2 to 3 years, and it is very lumpy. You get either a big one or you don't get anything for a time. So that's lumpiness in the upgrades market, and it is not smooth. Overall, on an annual basis, the market, if I have to split, is roughly about 70-80% core to 20-30% in upgrade. That is how the market is split. So, Vinit, if you want to comment on the market of core last year versus this year, and something on upgrades.
So, Prashant, I would say for the market, more or less has been the same level, for the core services. It has maintained the not major. There has been some increase, there is not significant. More or less, the same as spent for the market. But we have shown as you mentioned, we are looking at double digit growth by the end of this year.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Before we close, I wanted Kamna to update on the disclosure topic, that question. Kamna, would you please take up the question? Of course, we consider the feedback and we will see if we can improve the disclosures. But Kamna, you know how to respond?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. The company makes all the disclosures in compliance with the listing regulations. Additionally, the company also has a policy, and that policy is policy for information of materiality of events or information. And whenever we get any information, we review it from qualitative and quantitative perspective. And if it meets those thresholds, then we intimate. and whatever disclosures the company has done have been done in compliance with the said policy.
Okay, thank you, Kamna. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Jain for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining the call today, and I would like to thank you all on behalf of my team. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of GE Power India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.